Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. And you know, this topic is very dear and near to my heart. Because one of the things that I keep remembering from Scripture is that when Jesus Christ comes again, that there are going to be persons who think they are saved, and they will discover that they are not saved. And I think that's, you know, that's a terrible thing to happen to someone. For someone to discover on the day that the Lord returns that they are not saved. And Jesus says, I don't know you. You know, the Bible says that there are a group of persons who said, Lord, have we not cast out devils? Have we not healed in your name? Have we not this? Have we not that? And then Jesus is going to say, I don't know you. I don't know you. I don't know about you, but that's very frightening to me. Amen? So, we're going to be looking at the topic, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is quick, your word is powerful, your word is sharper than a two-edged sword. We thank you that your word has the power to pierce even to the dividing asunder of our soul and our spirit. And we thank you that your word is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. Lord, I offer my body, my soul, and my spirit to you, Lord, in partnership, to partner with your Holy Spirit. Speak through me now, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. May I see the hands of those who are followers on Twitter and Instagram. Those who are on Twitter and Instagram. Let me see your hand. Praise God. Just a few persons. Amen. All right. Okay. So, the first question I have is, are you a follower of Twitter or Instagram? And some people have indicated. A follower is someone that follows your account or any other account in Twitter or Instagram. An Instagram follower is a user who follows your account and is able to see, like, and comment on any photo you post. You know, yesterday I clicked on Instagram and I saw you have one new follower. So I'm not very popular on Instagram. I have one new follower. Amen? And I was doing some reading up. It says that if you have 1,000 followers on Instagram, you can make money. I don't know if I'll ever make money that way. Praise God. Amen? But guess what? When you have followers on Twitter and Instagram, or if you are a follower on Twitter or Instagram, there is no commitment on a short-term, long-term, or eternal basis. In other words, you can decide that I am no longer going to be on Twitter or Instagram. I am no longer going to be a follower, nor do I want anybody to follow me. That's your prerogative, right? You can make that decision. So, there is no commitment, short-term, long-term, or an eternal basis. At each point, you simply like or dislike. You have a choice. Do you know that in the church today, that there are people who use the like and the dislike term when it comes to God? Some people like this scripture and they don't like that scripture. And they think that they can treat God like how they treat Twitter and Instagram. But God is not like that. God is not like that. Amen? So, the word following is the metric of how many accounts they are following. Followers are those who follow you, and following are those who you follow. How do you know if someone is following you on Instagram? How do you know someone is following you on Instagram? Well, you can check your profile on Instagram. Do you know that God can check if you are following him? Do you know that God can check your profile to see whether or not you are a follower of Jesus Christ? Now, I might not know if you are following Jesus Christ. I might not be able to check your profile. I may not be able to check your heart to know whether or not you are a follower of Jesus Christ. But God can check your heart. God knows if you are a follower of Jesus Christ or not. Hallelujah. Now, when someone follows Jesus Christ, what does that mean? Is it the same as following on Twitter and Instagram? The answer is no. It's not the same. It's not the same. In fact, you know what is so sad? Many people, even in the church, prefer to follow people on Instagram and Twitter than to follow Jesus Christ. They spend more time following on Twitter and Instagram than they follow the Lord, than they read the Word of God, than they pray. And that's sad. That's very sad. Praise God. So to follow Jesus, it means to follow one who precedes. Join him as his attendant. He's looking for a partner. He's looking for a partner in the earth as his attendant to accompany him. Praise God. To join one as a disciple. That's what it means to follow Jesus. Become or be his disciple. Hallelujah. Disciple means a learner. A learner. The third thing about following Jesus is that a follower is a person who follows another in regard to his or her ideas or beliefs. Disciple or adherent, a person who imitates, copies, or takes as a model or ideal. So, you know, a disciple copies, imitates, or takes as a model or ideal Jesus. Amen? And such person is very happy to follow Jesus. As a follower of Jesus Christ, you do not have a choice. You have a choice as to whether you will be on Twitter or on Instagram. Now, I am on Instagram. I am not on Twitter. And I am thinking seriously about coming off Instagram. I don't see where it benefits me. But I have a choice. But to follow Jesus, you don't have a choice. Or put another way, the alternative to not following is not a good one. It's not a good one at all. You can decide not to follow Jesus, you know. You can decide to stop following Jesus. And Jesus won't try and stop you. But the alternative is not a good one. Praise God. In John 6, 67 to 69, the Bible says, then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked. What happened was that all his disciples, and many disciples, had left him. Because he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't be saved. And I said, no man, that is too hard. We can't accept that teaching. And they left. So Jesus turned to the 12 and he said, are you also going to leave? I don't know about you, but have you ever thought about leaving Jesus? Have you ever thought about turning your back on Jesus? And when you think about it and you reflect on it, you recognize that there's nobody else to turn to. There's nobody else to go to. There's nobody else that can give us eternal life. So he said to the 12, are you going to leave? And maybe Jesus is saying to you this morning, are you going to leave? Maybe you are thinking of giving up on Jesus. You're thinking of leaving Jesus. Simon Peter replied, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know you are the Holy One of God. Praise God. Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus has the words of eternal life? Do you believe that Jesus is the Holy One of God? If you do, then you will understand, you will realize that there is no other person that you can go to. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then disciple, as I said before, is a learner, a pupil. Amen. Now, in Matthew chapter 9, I want to look at some scriptures that speaks to individuals whom Jesus called to follow him. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9, it says, Jesus was walking along. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. Amen. Now, in those days, to be a tax collector, that was a very good job, a very lucrative job. It was not necessarily popular, but the rewards were great and the influence was great. And so as Jesus saw Matthew, he looked at Matthew, and I want to imagine that you are in the place of Matthew. You have a good job. Every week, you know, you get a good pay and you can maintain your family. And then here comes Jesus. And Jesus says, follow me and be my disciple. Amen. You know what I admire about Matthew? Matthew understood what it meant to follow Jesus. Do you know that there are people in the church today that don't understand what it means to follow Jesus? Now this man, he was in a good job, making a lot of money, whether legally or illegally. He was making a lot of money. And Jesus said, follow me and be my disciple. And Jesus said to him, Jesus said to him, follow me and be my disciple. So guess what Matthew did? Matthew, the Bible says, so Matthew got up and followed him. Matthew understood when he got up that he was walking away from that job. He was no longer going to be walking by sight, but that he was now going to be walking by faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew gave up his lucrative and influential job as a tax collector and became a follower of Jesus. Can I ask you a question? Are you a follower of Jesus? Is there something in your life that Jesus is calling you to give up and follow him? He's still calling. He's still calling. Still calling today. Hallelujah. In Matthew 9, 10 and 11, I love this. It says, later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home. as dinner guests. Amen. Have you ever invited Jesus to your home? Have you ever invited persons to your home? I know it's COVID time now, but before COVID, and let us say after COVID, have you ever invited guests to your home to tell them about Jesus? And there was something very special about these guests. It says, along with many tax collectors and other disrespectful sinners. Now, I have heard of sinners, but when you say disrespectful sinners, I mean, that's bringing it to another level. And he invited them into his home. Praise God. Hallelujah. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with such scum?" Praise God. I remember when I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, I didn't know about this scripture. But I said to my wife, "Let's put on a dinner. I'm going to invite all the people that I know to dinner, and I'm going to tell them that I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior." And among them was my university professor, who was my supervisor at that time. I was being a master of philosophy, and I invited him and his wife, along with co-workers and other friends, and they came to dinner, and I told them about Jesus Christ. We need to tell others about Jesus. Amen. Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation." Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I remember at that dinner, I did not know how to pray. I was a young Christian. So you know what I did? I invited a Christian to pray, because I could not pray. I was young, very, very young in the faith. Hallelujah. Matthew was anxious to introduce his disreputable sinner associates to Jesus. A follower of Jesus is anxious to share Jesus with others. Are you telling others about Jesus? That's so important. So important. In Matthew 10, verses 38 and 39, hallelujah, I want to look at the cost of following Jesus. Because you know what Jesus said? He said, "Any man that is undertaking a journey, he must first sit down and count the cost." Don't enter into the journey and you have not counted the cost. You don't want to reach halfway and find that, well, you can't deal with it. You can't measure up. Amen? So he says, if you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. That's part of the cost of following Jesus. He says, if you cling to your life, are you clinging to your life? What does that mean? Clinging to one's life. It means that there are certain areas of your life that you refuse to surrender to Jesus Christ. There are certain areas of your life that you refuse to give up. And he said, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. You're going to lose it. Eventually, you're going to lose it. So it's better to give it up. And then he says, but if you give up your life for me, you will find it. Amen? You will find life. You will find the true meaning of life. You will find the true value of life. Praise God. In Matthew 8, verses 34 to 37, It says, then calling the crowd to join his disciples. Amen. Jesus is always reaching out to people. Always reaching out to people. He said, if any of you wants to be my follower, if any of you wants to be my follower, praise God. I'm going to stop asking people to give their hearts to Jesus Christ. Amen? You know why? Some people, they say they give the Lord his heart. They don't give him his body, their body. They don't give him their mind. They don't give him their thinking. They don't give him their all. And it's a deception. Amen? If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. I mean, that's heavy stuff. You must give up your own way. Praise God. Do you know that some people, when they are planning their day, they plan here, they plan there, and then after they have planned out everything, they said, well, I wonder if I have any space to fit God into today. But do you know that's the wrong way? That's the wrong way, no? He said, seek ye first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen? I don't know about you, but for me, I set up my time with Jesus, and then I plan around that. I put Jesus at the center of my life. And I plan around that. And when I do that, I am giving up my own way. I'm saying, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. That's what it means. That's what it means when we go to the Lord in prayer. And we said, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's what it means to pray. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. If you notice, that's at the top. The top of the prayer. Thy will be done in earth. That's the first request. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Praise God. That's putting God first. That's putting God first. Amen? So you must give up your own way. Praise God. You know, test cricket is going on. And West Indies, I don't know what the position is now. But I said to myself this morning, I am not looking at any test cricket this morning. No, my way is what? My way is to take a prips before I come to church. Amen? But I said, I am going to fast cricket this morning. I'm not watching any cricket. I'm going to put Jesus first because I want Jesus to be with me as I minister as much as possible. So I gave up my way. Amen? He said, you must give up your own way. Your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. That's what it means to follow Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Then he says, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. Praise God. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Amen? You know, the world conditions our mind to run after the mighty dollar. The world conditions our mind to try and put together as much money, as much treasure, as much material things as possible. But Jesus is saying, What do you benefit? What is it you're benefiting? If you gain the whole world but lose your own soul. Amen? Praise God. And then he asks a very important question. He says, is anything worth more than the soul? Think about that, brethren. Is there anything worth more than your soul? Is there anything worth more than your father's soul? Is there anything worth more than your mother's soul? Is there anything worth more than your brother's and sister's soul? Is there anything worth more than your children's soul? Is there anything worth more than your neighbor's soul? The answer is no. Nothing. Nothing. So Jesus is saying, we must give up our own way. Praise God. We must give up our own way. You know, in our own life, in our own life as a family, you know, God, we got a green card, and God, I felt that, well, this is it. God is calling me to a better life. And then God speaks to me and he says, give up. First he says, come back to Jamaica. Then he says, give up the green card. My way is one in which says, boy, if I were to migrate, I would have a better life. Materially, I would have a better life. But God said, come back. God said, come back. So I had to choose God's way and give up my own way. I had to give up what I believe was a better way. And each of us, we have to be at that place where we hear God for ourselves, hear God for our own lives. But you cannot, do you know that you cannot hear from God unless you are prepared to give up your own way? Some people, they can't understand why they can't hear from God. But God knows that some are not at the point where they will say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. How many of you would go and speak to somebody about something and you know that the person will not listen? You're going to say, no, sir, it's a waste of time. They're not going to listen. God knows who will listen and who will not listen. But we have to yield our wills to God. Amen? Cross-bearing includes a willingness to suffer and die for the Lord's sake. Amen? A willingness to suffer and die for the Lord's sake. So, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you have got to be at the place where you are willing to die or to suffer for Christ's sake. Some people are saying, come to Jesus and your life will be comfortable. Come to Jesus and you'll have no more problems. Come to Jesus and you'll never have any more debts. I don't see it in the Bible. I don't see it in the Bible. What I see is Jesus says, follow me. Follow me. I will be with you. Well, whether you are suffering, whether you are in danger, whether you are in need, I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you are in prison, I am with you. There is a cost to following Jesus. Hallelujah. Matthew 10:37. Jesus said, if you love your father or mother more than you love me. Not saying you mustn't love your mother and your father, no. But it says, if you love your father and your mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or your daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. Wow. That's a hard one to follow. Amen. It doesn't mean you don't love them. Doesn't mean you don't love them. I think of Abraham. Abraham got his son when he was 90 odd. Amen. His wife was barren, and she got a miracle. And then God said, take your son into the mountain, put him on the altar, and slay him as a sacrifice. And Abraham, he loved his son. He loved his son. But he loved God more than his son. And he took his son and he placed him on the altar. And his son, that must have been very heartrending. His son said, Father, where is the sacrifice? And his father said, Son, God will provide a sacrifice. And as he lifted up his hand to kill his son, God said, Stop. You are an obedient child. Amen. He loved God more than he loved his son. Praise God. He loved his son, but he loved God more than his son. In Luke 14, verses 26 and 27, he says, If you want to be my disciple, if you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you must, by comparison, I want to take note of that word. You must, by comparison, hate everyone else. It don't mean you don't love them, you know. But the love of God, when it compares with the love of others, it causes the love of others to look like hate. But it's not hate, it's love. Amen? You must, by comparison, hate everyone else. Your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Even your own life. Has God ever sent you somewhere to pray or to preach or to share Jesus and your life is in danger in obeying God? That's hating even your own life. Otherwise, he says, otherwise you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Praise God. Amen. That's the cost of discipleship. And I'm so happy for the opportunity to share this message today with you. You know why? I don't want, on the day that the Lord returns, he says, Pastor Muirhead, you never told the people the truth. You deceived the people. You made the people believe that you just come to the altar, give your heart to Jesus, and sit down and wait for redemption time. I don't want to be in that. I don't want to be in that shoe. Amen. to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It costs us. It costs us. Amen? You know, Jesus put it like this. He said, the kingdom of God is like unto a man who went into a field and he discovered a very valuable pearl. Now, the only way that the man could take hold or take ownership of that pearl was to buy the field. In order to buy the field, you know what he had to do? He had to sell everything that he had. He had to give up everything that he had in order to get that pearl. You know what that pearl represents? It represents eternal life. What Jesus was saying is that for us to have eternal life, we have to be prepared to give up everything that we have in this life in order to have eternal life. Amen? Finally, I want to ask a question. How can I follow Jesus? What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Does it mean that I go where I feel like going and I don't go where I don't feel like going? Is it a feeling thing to follow Jesus? And I use the word feeling because, you know, a lot of time we respond to our feeling. We are led by our feeling. We make decisions based upon our feelings. But do you know that when you live by your feelings, you are being carnally minded? When you live by your emotions, you are being carnally minded. And the Bible says to be carnally minded is death. To be carnally minded is death. When Adam and Eve were in the garden and they obeyed the devil and they ate that apple because it looked in that fruit because it looked like something nice to eat. It would satisfy their desires to be like God. But they were being carnally minded and it resulted in their spiritual and their physical death. And we need to be careful because to be carnally minded is death and it will cause us to go to hell. So how can I follow Jesus? How can I follow Jesus? John 10 verses 27 to 29. He said, this is the secret. This is the secret to following Jesus. It says, my sheep, is there a sheep in here? Is there a sheep in God seated in the sanctuary today? He said, my sheep, listen to my voice. Do you know that some people don't want to listen to God's voice? They're afraid of what God would say. And because of that, they don't listen. Because they are intent in doing what they feel like doing. But he says, my sheep, listen to my voice. Hallelujah. And then he says, I know them, and they follow me. So, how do you follow Jesus? You listen to his voice. And when you listen, you follow in terms of what you have heard, in response to what you have heard. He said, I give them eternal life. And they will never perish. Your body might perish. But your soul will never perish. And then he says, no one can snatch them away. You know, if Adam and Eve had listened and obeyed God's voice, they would not have been snatched away. If Ananias and Sapphira had listened to God's voice, they would not have been snatched away. If Samson had listened to God's voice instead of his wife's voice, he would not have been snatched away. Jesus says, no one can snatch them away. Amen? To be a follower of Jesus Christ, we have to listen to his voice. You know, you will never know who is following you on Twitter or Instagram unless you look. You have to tap on it and look. You will never know what Jesus is saying to you unless you listen. You'll never see what Jesus is saying to you unless you open your spiritual eyes and look. If you have never listened, if you have never looked, you can't say, Lord, you are not speaking to me. That's a problem with some people. They are not listening to God. They are not listening for God's voice. They are not looking. And as a result, they are not hearing and they are not seeing. And you have to spend time with God in order to hear from God. To follow Jesus effectively, you must hear his voice. To follow Jesus effectively, you must be led by the Holy Spirit. You must have a relationship with God. Do you listen to God's voice daily? He said in Hebrews 3:15, remember what it says. That's what the Word of God says. Today, when you hear his voice, how many of you have heard the voice of God since awakening this morning? Today, it didn't say today if you hear his voice. It says today when you hear his voice. That means his voice is available to every one of us. Hallelujah. It says, don't harden your hearts. Amen. When you don't listen to God, when you don't want to hear from God, when you are disobeying God's voice, you are hardening your heart. You are turning God away. You are saying, God, I want nothing to do with you. So he says, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled. Amen. And remember, when you rebel, you are practicing witchcraft. It's not only Obaman practice witchcraft, you know. When you rebel, you are practicing witchcraft, because the Bible says that rebelliousness is as the sin of witchcraft. Hallelujah. So in summary, we saw that followers of Twitter and Instagram have an option to like and comment on any picture or comment you post. When you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you do not have an option. You are required to be obedient, imitate, copy, and take Jesus as your model. And live out that model. As a follower of Jesus Christ, you have decided to give up your own way in order to go God's way. You come to a personal understanding that no one else has the words of eternal life. That's your personal understanding. Amen? Personal revelation. Praise God. Followers of Jesus Christ loves Jesus more than anyone or anything. Amen? Anything in our lives that we love more than we love God is an idol. It's an idol. In order to follow Jesus, we need to hear his voice and to be led by his Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's just close our eyes before God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Is there someone here who is not a follower of Jesus Christ? And you want to become a follower of Jesus Christ? You want to become a disciple of Jesus Christ? If you are in here and you are such a person, I'm asking you to stand. If you are watching online and you are not a follower of Jesus Christ and you desire to become a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm asking you to just stand right where you are and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you that you are still calling men, women, boys and girls to follow you, Lord. Lord, I ask you to forgive us of instances, Lord, when we have not denied ourselves. Instances when we have loved others or loved things more than we love you, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for not listening to your voice. Forgive us, Lord, for planning everything else and then putting you, squeezing you in at the last minute, so to speak, Lord. Help us to put you first, Lord. Hallelujah. Help us to love you, Lord. With all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our minds, and with all our strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Before I take my seat, I just want to pray for the following conditions. The Holy Spirit was speaking to me about pins and needles. Pins and needles and cramps in your, you know, in your muscles. You know, whatever part of your body, there might be pins and needles and cramps. The Spirit of God is present to heal. Is there anybody that has that condition? Pins and needles and cramps. Okay, I've seen your hand. Is there anybody else? Praise God. Amen. The Spirit of God is present to heal. Amen. Praise God. And then, whether, I don't know if it's here but or online, but or if you know somebody, you can pray for them as I pray. Chronic coughing. Chronic coughing. Hallelujah. Amen. And then I got the word groveling. Groveling. Now the word groveling, it means that sometimes people are in a relationship and You know, they are being abused, whether it be psychologically, but they find themselves in a condescending mode where they try and humble themselves and to bear many things so as to have a false sense of peace. That's groveling. And God is saying that relationship is not a healthy relationship. You need help. You need help. And beginning with my praying, God is going to begin to set you free. It's not normal. God wants to set you free from that groveling, from the conditions that are causing you to grovel. Hallelujah. So let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak healing to the bodies of those persons who are experiencing needles, pins and needles, and cramps. I speak to the muscles. I speak to the underlying conditions, whether it's sugar or kidney conditions. I speak to those conditions now, and I declare healing in the body, in their bodies now, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Lord, for the person who is experiencing chronic coughing, Lord, I curse the source of that coughing now. In the name of Jesus, I break its power over their throat now, over their bronchial, in the name of Jesus. And I command that condition to go now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I come against that spirit of intimidation, that spirit of psychological violence that is causing persons to grovel, causing persons to bear and to put up and to literally bow down to these situations in order to have peace. Lord, I break that power of psychological violence and fear over their lives now in the name of Jesus. And I command you to loose them now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, let your kingdom of righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit come upon their hearts. Fill their hearts even now, Lord. Set them free, Lord. Deliver them, Lord. And we thank you that whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a clap offering of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen.